enjoying this conversation quite a bit with Paul Stonehill, who's an international researcher, somebody who is well-versed both in foreign languages, but also a different perspective when it comes to reading the minds of foreign leaders, trying to understand why UFO reports come out the way they do in other countries versus how we get them here. Paul's research takes him into places that most American researchers would never think to go, and therefore he has some fairly unique stories, which we've heard many of tonight, and which we have many more left to go for this hour. I want to pick at the Crystal Skulls story a little bit more and the Nazis that Paul was researching. We'll do that next with your questions on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Ryan is in Seattle. We'll get to him in just a second. Let me ask you about the Crystal Skulls, and maybe more specifically when it comes to the Nazis, their early experiments in aircraft. You mentioned the Nazis were kind of in pursuit of anything like the Crystal Skulls or the Spear of Destiny or anything that they thought would give, you know, them the sort of mystical, ritualistic edge over their enemies. Any thought, any proof anywhere that the Nazis had had any type of extraterrestrial contact?
Rumors, but not proof itself. Rumors, right. And unsubstantiated at this point.
Yeah, I've heard those rumors too. I was just curious. And as far as the Russians are concerned, the Russians too have made some fairly big jumps in their, you know, in their nuclear program and in their aircraft program. Any thoughts about whether the Russians had had any retrofitting or any technology that might have come from an outside source
like points.
That?
In 1948, allegedly, in Kiev, the city I was born in, Ukraine, they had dug out again. That was done before, but it was put back. Ancient craft, a rocket-like object that contained incredible technology and Hindu inscriptions in the ancient language of India. And that, again, rumors too, but very interesting. But then also in early 1950s, according to Professor Burdakov, one of those who had revealed information about Stalin having documents about Roswell back in 1940s and his analysis, how he got Soviet scientists to analyze them. Anyway, the same Professor Burdakov, who is still alive, one of the best scientific minds of Russia, he mentioned a story how in early 1950s, Soviet had some thing in their hands that they could not understand what it was. And it was like a microchip-like object. They described it, but they didn't know where it was. Where it came from, I don't know. But again, I go back to my hypothesis that they actually found out something during the excavations, archaeological excavations.
This is a totally inappropriate question, but I am curious, always curious about these things. Did you grow up eating chicken Kiev in Kiev? I mean, do they have chicken Kiev in Kiev?
No. They have other food.
Yeah, but you've had it, right? You've had chicken Kiev?
Here, not in Soviet Union.
Yes, but it's never, like, nobody in Kiev eats chicken Kiev.
No.
Isn't that weird?
Maybe today they do, but, you know.
Yeah. It's probably an American hotel somewhere. Ryan is in Seattle on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Ryan?
Good evening.
Hello. Evening.
It's a pleasure to be on your program. I don't know if you guys heard, but yesterday there was a breaking story from the Romanian Ministry of Defense, in which they a MiG had an air collision. It was cruising along at high altitude in 2007, and three objects brushed up against the side, it causing it to land in an emergency. They posted the video at the Romanian UFO network, and I was wondering if you guys heard about this, because I'm just trying to figure out what would be in the air that would be floating in the air. There was three of them that were tracked on radar, and they were not. The Romanian Ministry of Defense was unable to determine what they were after an investigation, and they. If anybody does a search on that and looks, and you can see the video, and there's three objects clearly, and it's a gun camera photo video that they have released. This
you can you can see it on YouTube, by the way. If you want to just make it easy on yourself, go to YouTube and type in UFO hits Romanian fighter jet.
It's called RomanianUFOnetwork.org or RUFON.org. I wonder if you heard of that.
Paul?
No, I have not that story. I have not heard about this.
And if anybody wants to see a good... they can do a search on that. Thank you very much.
I'm looking at it right now, actually, and you could even hear it in the background as they were showing the jet. It appears to be a legit news piece, and they're showing a looks like a Romanian news reporter on a mainstream Romanian newscast with images of this jet that was hit, and that they're already showing a little bit about the video. They show the video. What's true or not, I don't know, but it's pretty cool looking. So UFO hits Romanian fighter jet at YouTube. You can find out more there. Hunter is in Arizona on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Hunter? Okay, Hunter. There he is. Now he's gone. Dan is in Columbia, South Carolina for Paul Stonehill. Dan?
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure can.
Okay, great. I wanted to get Paul's take on the crystal skulls and crystals being like ancient types of computer chips.
Do you believe in that, the computer chip theory, Paul?
No, I don't. But again, crystal itself may be material that we don't know all its properties. Again, I go back to ancient China and that magic so-called mirror they had and used for, to determine a person's disease. It was like, I guess, a giant magnifying glass. I don't know what else to call it.
Right. No, I totally get that. Willie is in Miami on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Willie?
Good evening, guys.
Evening.
I'd like to start off by saying Gina rocks. She should have her own show one night, Ian.
I totally agree. She should have this show. If there's any justice, Gina would be hosting, and I'd be answering her phones.
Well, I don't know about that, but whatever.
I'm willing to say that. I'm willing to come out and make that.
Incidentally, Ian, I sent you an email with an EVP a few weeks ago. I don't know if you got a chance to hear it. It's something we recorded years ago, and it's the real thing. Check it out if you get a chance.
Well, I want to jump in here and say my coasttocoastam.com account has gotten all screwed up. So I'm really not getting, especially anything with an attachment, anything to that web-based server has just gotten all balled up. So I'm looking forward to sorting that out. So I can guarantee you I haven't gotten it, but I have tried. I've gone in several times to that email box, and it's just, I don't know what the problem is, but I'm having a real hard time with it. But go ahead, your question for Paul.
One day, maybe I'll send it to you again when you get it all sorted out.
Thank you.
My question is, and I don't know if it's a good question or not, but Paul, you said a little while ago the Soviet Union had found something you believe when they were doing excavations or whatever it was they were doing, and you think they found something of extraterrestrial origins. Now, with the climate in Russia being different now, what is it, the Russian Federation now, is it?
Yes.
What are the chances you think of that technology maybe falling into the hands of, like, some sort of organized crime syndicate, something like that, black market?
I think during Putin's rule, he put down, he destroyed criminals, criminal clans. There is a lot of crime in Russia as such. But the control of Russia now is in the hands of Dmitry Medvedev and his people and the law enforcement agencies, or siloviki, you can call them, let's say, those with force. I don't think they will let Russia lose control anymore. It's pretty well guarded.
It's like a plutocracy, isn't it? I mean, it's Putin in charge of everything.
Well, yeah, but he has a lot of support, too, because he did bring the wealth of the nation up, mainly because of oil and gas. And
right.
He brought law and order where none existed for, like, about, I would say, 10 years.
Yeah, but along that way, though, too, he also, and I we talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago with the author of a book called Mick Mafia about the powerful Russian gangs. He made a lot of people rich. He made a lot of oligarchs rich. But I don't know that that a lot of them seem to be very focused on continuing an organized crime, and that there is it may be stability, but it's stability with a violent streak in it.
People on the street are, you know, nowadays they're not as concerned about going out. Why he has a lot of support? Again, he brought and believe me, Moscow is not a typical Russian town. There's a lot of poverty, a lot of grief, and so forth. But he gave people stability, and that's what people—that's what a lot of people expected. I know I don't defend him or Medvedev at all, but I'm just telling you the popular mood in Russia nowadays.
Sure. I understand. First-time caller line. Bill is in Fairbanks, Alaska, on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Bill,
hi. Thank you for picking me up. I had a question about, I was watching television on the History Channel, and they had run this show about finding alien technology on the moon, where they had found a robot skull, and the government just kind of washed it out like it never happened.
And you want to ask Paul about that? Paul?
I just wanted to ask anybody about that.
That's not fine. Go ahead, Paul. What do you know about that?
Again, all I know is what was reported by a Chinese scientist, that a footprint was found on the moon. He's one of the leading astrophysicists in China, as far as I know, Dr. Kang Mao Kang. According to Russian sources, this scientist had received information from a reliable source in the United States, along with the photographs of a human footprint and the photograph of a human skeleton on the surface of the moon. Apparently, in 1988, in the winter of 1988, Mao Kang showed the photographs to a conference of journalists in Beijing. That's all I know. But he did claim that he possessed documents and letters to prove the footprint on the lunar surface was quite recent. We're talking about 1988, so, you know, sometime about that period. And the skeleton was unquestionably human. And he mentioned that only the Americans can provide the information.
And left it there.
Allegedly, the photographs were taken by crew of Apollo 11. Apollo 11. That's
Apollo 11. Okay. And Kay is in California on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Kay?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question. Since you're kind of really took a really hard stance against Spielberg there. I got a question about something called the singing stones in Russia. What's your opinion on that? And what would happen if they got close to the crystal skull?
Tell me about the singing stones, Paul.
Well, there may be. There may be a natural formations that, emit sounds because of the movement of the wind and so forth. Russia has tens of thousands of paranormal objects. And, no, seriously, a lot of paranormal objects. I don't think the singing stones is something that can be really paranormal or attributed. Again, there were stories of singing statues in the past as well, from ancient Rome and so forth. They were not proven to be anything genuine. But again, nature creates a lot of effects that may seem to be unusual, but once you start exploring them, you get the answer. Now, about the crystal skulls, all I can say is this. There has been a lot of interest from different groups into the secrecy, into the composition of the stones, of the crystals, skulls. Apparently, there's an organization that keeps the information about the skulls in their hands. I believe organized by the owners of different skulls. They may know more than anybody else at this point.
Okay. Bruce on the wildcard line in Vancouver on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question for Paul, and then I'll get off and listen for his opinion. The Anunnaki planet Nibiru and the coming 2012. Does he have any opinions on that?
I think that Zachariah Sitchin has done a tremendous research. I think that he definitely has something. I believe in a lot of his findings. Moreover, I found confirmation of, let's say, ancient Sumerian legends and their goddesses in the stories of the so-called golden woman of Yugra, a very unusual artifact, a goddess that was possessed by a very faraway tribe, very faraway tribes in Siberia. But you definitely see patterns and similarities between ancient Sumer and similar stories that other people possess throughout the world.
You know, I'm looking at this story. I was able to find a copy of the story going back to the claim by Chinese astrophysicist Dr. Kang Mao Pang. And very specifically, I was just kind of curious about what the skeletons and what the footprints were about. And what he says here is that this was a bare human footprint, so not just a footprint like we would see in a boot, but rather a bare human foot, bare human footprints, and that the skeleton itself was not inside of some sort of suit, but was outside of that. What do you make of that?
In my book, I have stories coming from KGB, confirmed by the Petrov, an officer in the KGB, who claimed that when the Soviets sent their moonwalkers to the moon, they had aboard KGB volunteers, if you can call them that, who came, you know, who went along for the flight, knowing they would not come back, but to make sure that the machinery actually works, just in case. And apparently they died on the moon, and it may be their skeletons, that their skeleton that was found. You know, by then it would have been there 16, 15 years on the moon, and I don't know how it would decompose.
Yeah, I don't see, without oxygen, I don't see how it could decompose at all.
That's the only, not even an explanation, but a hint of an explanation that I can provide. I don't, you know, I don't know the veracity of the story. I reported it because it was very interesting.
Sure.
And you know, the Soviet space history has too many dark pages. We still don't know today what had been happening.
The thought was that the skeleton appears to be wearing jeans.
Well,
you ever heard that part?
Jeans, you know.
Jeans and barefoot.
An attractive object, you know. Very few people could get them in the Soviet Union at the time. So
yeah,
maybe
it's
they gave them as a reward. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you're right. I know people that would go to the Soviet Union and in the 70s and 80s, and they would always just bring about 20 pairs of Levi's with them, and they came away quite well after all of the trading they were doing for those American denim jeans. All right, so we'll come back to this then. We'll get another round of calls. Paul Stonehill, an expert on especially Russian UFO stories, UFO legends and news legends, for that matter, things that have been reported in the news. Paul has been looking at these stories for years, trying to find out what's true and what isn't. And then also coming up, too, in this last half hour, one other piece from a story which Paul wrote about, which we didn't get to earlier. We'll get to coming up. And a reminder that tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, I'll be doing Sunday night. Our special guest will be Jesus Christ coming up tomorrow night, along with Captain Kelly Sweeney in the first hour, and new reports of piracy on the high seas. And we'll hear about that from Captain Kelly just back into port on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Heading to our last half hour with Paul Stonehill. I want to leave a little time before we're done to ask about Russia's greatest psychic. And why is it that Russia has produced so many of the world's best, or apparently, anyway, judged to be some of the world's most accurate psychics? He's been researching that along with so many other stories out of the former Soviet Union, and he's been sharing them with us this evening. We'll get to a couple more questions coming up next, too, and it doesn't have to be about the crystal skulls, although we did talk about that earlier. Paul doesn't happen to believe that any of those live up to their billing, but he also knows that the whether they were true or not, the stories that the Soviets Germans were looking into him, those are true, regardless of whether or not the skulls were able to do what some people have said they're able to do. That didn't stop Hitler from believing that they were valid, or at least wanting to make sure that if they were valid, that only the Nazis had them. That was part of the earlier show. If you missed that, I would recommend you go back and grab that with the StreamLink podcast. Very interesting stories tonight on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Ponet. Paul Stonehill is our guest. You can read a lot of his work in Fate magazine. Hey, Paul, is there a Russian Roswell?
There are claims that, there are a few of similar Roswells, but there is no concrete proof. The best and still, the most, I would say, mysterious case is the 1908 Tunguska explosion of an object. Call it explosion, implosion, anything you want, but that the object that disintegrated over the taiga had left incredible impact, and most likely, based on my research, it was an alien object that had entered our atmosphere and had met with another object that was shot down from the bowels of the earth and destroyed it. In a brief explanation.
You don't accept the meteorite comet story?
Oh no, not that. There have been hundreds of explanations of what it can be, and no.
Okay.
No, and again, I don't. I put in my book. Put forth most of the explanations today and theories. My personal belief, based on the on the collected knowledge from Russia, is that it was an object that was shut down over our planet. Because if it would not have been shut down, the impact with the planet would have been devastating. That's another, another proof of the so-called Sentinel theory.
Okay. West of the Rockies, Ken is in Oak Creek, Arizona on Coast to Coast AM. Ken?
Yes, I have a couple of questions about the crystal skulls, but this pertains to something different. Has there ever been a discovery of an obsidian skull? And would it be a counterpart of the crystal skulls? And would the dark properties of the obsidian hold any dielectric effect?
Well, I would not know that. I don't think there was an obsidian skull found. But I guess the best way for you to find out is to reach an entity in New York. I believe it's called the International Society of the Crystal Skull. It was organized in 1945. And the aim of the society is to study all discovered skulls, and also to verify if they're actually ancient. I would say that this is the best authority we can have nowadays.
Charles, east of the Rockies in Illinois on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Charles?
Yeah, I just had a comment and a question. The sightings here in the U.S., and, I'm wondering if that might have any connection with the disunity here, since there's more opening of it in other countries and stuff like that, and here it's so quiet. I'm wondering if they don't notice that, or if and why we keep it secret from our own people. Because I would think that being a little more open than it has been, I would think that would bring more unity, and it would bring people in a closer to accepting it, or and then also the other thing is the like the crystal skulls and stuff with the crystal. Yeah, that that stone, it's got its properties, but the skull itself, could represent knowledge. Being the skull,
Sure. Well, let's go ahead. Let's get an answer from Paul on that.
Well, if you keep an eye on what's going on around the world, you do get revelations from the United Kingdom Some files have been opened up from Brazil. A number of files have opened up. And if you do a lot of research, you will see that there have been CIA files that have been opened up. I'm sure, just few, but that was enough for me to confirm a lot of the research I had been doing in, about the Soviet Union. And you could see how the Americans have been spying on the Soviets and vice versa. And I was very surprised, for example, to see through the files that have been declassified, CIA files, that they were quite interested in UFOs back in 1950s, and then throughout the period, whatever was declassified, and even into late 1980s, they kept an eye on the developments in the Soviet ufology and personalities. So, there is information out there. It's putting it all together. That's interesting. I wish we had more time and maybe talk a little bit about China and even the province where there was this huge earthquake recently. I published an article, I believe last year, in Fate magazine about the Sichuan province. I mean, this place is full of paranormal phenomena. And in China, the government is quite different from here or in Russia or the UK when it comes to study of UFOs. They encourage it. And there are thousands of scientists who are involved in UFO research. What's interesting, I want to mention here.
Sure.
Sichuan province went through this horrible earthquake. And I worry about the artifacts, the ancient pyramids that have been found there, the so-called star towers, and there is a lot more. But I want to mention that just before the earthquake, in the years before the earthquake, there have been a lot of sightings of UFOs confirmed by scientists and Chinese military. And I find it interesting that before great natural disasters, you do get to see UFOs in the area, be it Central Asia in the Soviet Union or Sichuan in China. And whoever is listening and, is interested in ufology in other places, not just the United States, should pay attention to China.
Marla is in Vegas on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Marla?
Right, hi. How are you doing tonight? I wanted to let you know there is a website called emeraldtreasure.com. About 15 years ago, one of my business associates knew a gentleman who discovered a huge treasure of emeralds that sank off of the coast of Mexico back in 1756. He was asked by the family of a woman from Portugal to search for this. This was a treasure from Montezuma, from Cortez. They located this treasure by asking two psychics to locate the actual location of the sunken ship, which sank in 1756. They gave them two psychics maps where they both located at the same spot. The divers dove down, and just where the psychics chose the spot, they located a crystal skull. Now, this crystal skull was part of the treasure, and you can see the entire treasure, which is on this emeraldtreasure.com. The gentleman's name was Victor Benelis, who located the treasure. It's AD Ventures. The thing was on Time Magazine. It was in Treasure Diver Magazine.
Right.
And
we'll take a look
apparently
at it.
This skull, they felt that it was almost beaming, and they dove down, boom, there it was. And so I thought you should take a look at this. It's really, really cool.
We'll take a look at it right now. Thank you for that heads up. That psychic piece reminds me of something I wanted to ask you about earlier in my research on Paul Stonehill this week. I came across this great piece about the world's best psychic, right? Who's this guy, Messing? Is that his name?
Wolf Messing, Polish-Jewish refugee who was able to evade Gestapo and found refuge in the Soviet Union. Hitler wanted his head, because he predicted that Hitler's armies will be crushed by the Soviet Union if he starts wars against Soviet Russia. In any event, he had incredible psychic powers, which he wanted to understand completely, but there was no one to study him. He had done a lot of good work in the Soviet Union, helping his adopted nation defeat Nazis, and all his life he was nevertheless suspected, because first of all, he was, you know, his powers could not be explained by Marxism-Leninism, and they did not like that he had powers that cannot be explained, but they kind of left him alone, because obviously he had contributed so much. But the thing is, because of him, we can understand the mysterious qualities of human psyche and the brain. This man was a hypnotist, a clairvoyant. He was a telepath. He was everything put together, and no one knows how it happened. And when he died, he took his powers with him. There was no one in the Soviet Union who would not be afraid to study him. But apparently he could predict future by looking at a photograph. He was able to find, he had remote viewing capabilities in him. He was basically a great man. But every time he had a demonstration of his powers in the Soviet Union, and, you know, during different concerts that he was allowed to have and appearances, there was an official from the Communist Party saying that, you know, what he has, and they gave some feeble explanation of his powers, trying to say that, you know, what he has is not really telepathic or you know, clairvoyant and so forth. He gave a lot of help to the Soviet intelligence and during the 1940s, and he knew almost to the day when Nazis will be crushed, and he wasn't afraid to tell it to Stalin, actually just before the World War started, because, you know, few people in the Soviet Union wanted to tell it to Stalin because he didn't believe it.
Right.
He believed Hitler until the end, until, you know, January 2nd, 1941.
There are a lot of people that come out of the Soviet Union that seem, or former Soviet Union, that part of the country, part of the world rather, that have unique abilities. Is there something about Russia or Eurasia? Is there something about that produces some of the world's best known or at least most revered psychics?
I know about a few. I think that Eurasia itself, you know, you're looking at, you know, ancient continents and olden, you know, knowledge of China. I always like to bring up China as well because we know so little about it. But what I know, just from my research, based in Russian and some other sources, is incredible. Now, I'm sure they knew about the power of the mind thousands of years ago. They had a lot of discoveries we don't even have today. They had ancient telescopes in their past. The Chinese did. They had devices, as I mentioned before, about, you know, that helped them find out a person's sickness. They had much more. They had, and in my writings, I also mentioned, you know, the legends of the first emperor, and definite indications of visitation of the planet by superior beings. And you're asking me that there is so much more. You know, America is a young continent. Is a young country, and South America, of course, it had incredible knowledge before, but the conquistadors destroyed it. And you know what's left? You know, burned out manuscripts or you know dubious skulls. That's all we have.
I went to that website, interesting, on the emeraldtreasure.com website. There was a lot of discussion about these skulls, not many pictures of them. There's a picture of a jade or an emerald mask, but I'd like to see more photos of that, but I appreciate the heads up from Marla. Let's go to Tiffany in Cypress, California, on Coast to Coast AM for Paul Stonehill. Tiffany?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I was wondering, with regard to the recent increase of sightings reported, do you think it's really an increase in alien activity, or are we just seeing more?
We could see more. I mean, we had enough capabilities to see more from 1950s on, I would say. I think there is definite an increase. We don't live in the quietest of times, and I think there is more knowledge among a certain structure, certain, let's say, entities on our planet about the increase of visitations and what we should expect. And I you know, again, go back to Vatican. All of a sudden, now they say that it's okay to, you know, to speak about the aliens, to believe in them. Some other religions too. I think there is more knowledge, that cryptic knowledge that we may not know about, that you know, certain entities possess, and I mean organizations, churches, governments, and maybe now is the time that they decided to release it. Why, I don't know. Maybe something is coming our way.
Sanjaya is in Hilo, Hawaii. He'll get the last question for Paul Stonehill on Coast to Coast AM. Sanjaya?
Yeah, hi. I was calling to ask Paul if he'd ever seen the movie The Abyss about the UFOs underwater.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your feeling on that movie as far? Was it based on something real, or have you heard any things about that?
I don't know what it was based on, but it's good that movies like that come. There was another one, I believe, because there is so much that's going on at the bottom of our oceans. Maybe someday, when I speak to Ian again, I'll talk about the Mariana Trench and a few other objects and localities that have incredible wealth of reports about USOs and UFOs.
Well, I have to comment just because, you know, I have to. The Abyss, great movie, terrible ending.
Yeah.
One of the worst endings for what a great setup, and one of the worst endings of all time.
Yeah.
Such a huge disappointment. Kind of like American Werewolf in London. Great setup, and then it's like, oh, well, I guess the movie's over. Well, the show's over, so maybe that's appropriate, too, that we should end right here with Paul Stonehill. You can link up to him through coasttocoastam.com. Take a look at Paul's work and follow him in Fate magazine. And, Paul, thank you for such a variety of topics tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I like how you said inviting. That's like, again, that's like Chekhov in Star Trek. Do you also say wessel?
Vodka, not vodka.
And vodka.
No, I say vodka. But I don't
vodka. So. If you were to drink, you'd say vodka. You'd have a vodka and water.
So,
thank you, Paul. A lot of fun and very interesting. We'll be following you. And thanks for keeping track of these stories for us. Again, tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, Captain Kelly Sweeney for the first hour. New reports of sea piracy. He's just back onto land, and we'll ask about that. And also coming up tomorrow night, our special guest, Jesus Christ. We'll leave the rest up to you to listen tomorrow night. And a great blog, if you log on to coasttocoastam.com, go take a look at the photos of some of the tornado damage of this town that I live near, and also other fun stuff that we posted up there at coasttocoastam.com. Till tomorrow night, Deus te amat, and I do too.